Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a place where sharing God's word with the next generation in your circle of influence can be simple, easy, and fun. We know that intentionally teaching children about God and the relevancy of his word will be a game changer in their homes, schools, and communities. This podcast is a ministry of Bible to School, experts in engaging children with the word of God. Together, we will make sure that you can tell the children about the love of Jesus. Ready, set, let's go. Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a ministry of Bible to School. I'm your host, Meredith Steidler, and this is episode 137. Have you ever experienced the power of prayer? We talk a lot about prayer on this podcast, but today, Corey and I address something new: praying for our child's future spouse. You'll hear Corey's story behind this important topic and three ways you can start praying now. Speaking of prayer, did you know that Bible to School teaches children all about prayer with fun, interactive stories from Scripture and dives deeper into this topic during small group time? Did you also know this happens during the public school day? To learn more about this awesome public school ministry, just go to Bible2School.com. Before you leave today, would you do us a big favor and share this podcast with a friend? Every shout out counts, including on social media, where we can be found at Bible2School. Lastly, we are looking for some listeners with generous hearts to join our podcast impact team to help cover our podcast expenses so we can continue on the air. To learn more, visit our website, Bible2School.com, and click on the resources tab. Are you ready to learn three great ways to cover your child's future spouse in prayer? Join my conversation with Corey now. Well, hi, Corey.
Hey, Meredith. Great to talk to you today. I'm excited to talk about our subject that we're talking about today.
Same here. I'm excited to have you back on the podcast to talk about something many of us likely haven't spent too much time doing relating to prayer. So thanks for joining us.
Sure. I have a heart for prayer. You know that.
Yes, you sure do. And I'm super excited to talk to you so our listeners can hear what you have to say. We have spent actually several episodes talking about prayer in different forms. And I think one of my favorite episodes is you and Jody Berndt discussing her book, Praying the Scriptures Over Your Children.
Oh, yeah. Praying scriptures, there's something very powerful about putting their name in those scriptures that means a lot.
Yes, for sure. And we'll actually do a bit of that today too. But I'm curious, before we get started, which past episode on prayer impacted you the most?
It would have to be Will Graham, the grandson of Billy Graham. He was amazing. He was in charge of the National Day of Prayer. And so I had him on. And what he talked about was his grandfather, Billy Graham, praying with the presidents. And it was real. He said how we should pray for our president, whether we agree with him or not. I thought that's an interesting message in this day and age. And he also said that Billy Graham had prayed with Lyndon Johnson more than any other president because he had struggled with sending young soldiers to Vietnam. He knew men were dying every day and how big of a weight that was on him. And so it doesn't matter if you're the most powerful person in the world. So you still need help. You still need people praying for you and with you. So you need the power of prayer, Meredith.
Amen. Well, what an awesome example, too, of God placing his people in places of political influence to make a positive impact for his kingdom and glory.
Yeah, God is good that way.
Well, today we're going to get very specific with our prayers. Would you tell us exactly what we're discussing?
We're talking about praying for our children's future spouses. Not a lot of people do this, Meredith, but you know, as I talk around our team at You Can Tell the Children and at Bible to School, I'm always telling you guys, I have two daughter-in-laws, and I prayed for my daughter-in-laws from a very, very young age. I prayed for them because I have all boys. So I was waiting for those girls a guy was going to bring me.
Yeah. Yeah. So just tell us, why has this topic been impressed on your heart for so long?
When I was in my 20s, I was searching for God. I knew him in my head, but I didn't know him in my heart. But I also was praying for a husband. Even though I didn't really know God, I actually prayed every day for someone who would love me and that I could love back. And God is so beautiful. Even before I actually belonged to him totally, I gave my heart to him. he already had a husband ready who was going to actually lead me to Christ. So when we were married and you know, he was away in the Navy a lot and I was home a lot, it was so hard. But we both grew up with wonderful examples of committed, loving marriages, our parents. And the military marriages are so hard. So you want to have that right person that God has for you. Many heartbreaking situations, families devastated by divorce in our culture, but also in the military. Divorce rate is much higher in the military than it is in the civilian world. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, it's believable. Do you know any stats on that?
Yeah, it's about twice as much. So basically, the divorce rate is almost double that in marriage because you're dealing with all kinds of extra situations and variables of them being away a lot and under duress and with the kids and all. But man, we pray for that spouse that can be a team with us, even if we're long distance.
That's significant though, 2.5%, so more than half. And you knew about that battle then for your marriage even before it began, right?
I did. My husband and I, so when we had that experience in the military, just sad watching marriages come apart with the stress of that, we knew that having a strong godly marriage was very important and you had to work at it. You had to work at your relationship with God. You had to work at your relationship with each other. So when I got pregnant, I was very excited, you know, to have a baby for the first time. And we decided specifically to pray over every child, their two most important choices. And their two most important choices in their life are going to be their choice to follow God, to follow Jesus, their salvation, and their future spouse. So those are the two most important relationship choices they make, the relationship with God and the relationship with their future spouse. So having it God-centered and conveyed in prayer since before they were born, it kind of morphed into our whole family praying for our kids' spouses and their faith journey as well.
Wow. So this isn't even like a recent aha moment. Like you have legit been doing this from the very beginning with all three of your kids.
I have because I just know how important it is. And if you don't have God in the middle of your marriage, you're not only you're missing something, you're missing joy, you're missing all the peace, patience, kindness, you're missing all the fruits of the Spirit, which you need in marriage, but you're also missing the beauty of having him there with you all the time, knowing that your marriage and your family life is built on him.
So tell us, what are the three prayers then that you would encourage us to start praying now for our kids' future spouses?
Sure. And people ask me this question, and a lot of people, you know, pray for, if you look on the internet, it's you know, Google it and you can be, oh, people pray for their purity. They pray for all kinds of specific things about that spouse. I did not do that. I prayed for three things. I prayed for their salvation. First thing first, their relationship with Jesus. I prayed for their protection on their journey, because I knew what it was like for me. It was, there's a lot of potholes here and there on my journey. And so I definitely asked their protection around them. And then also for wisdom, the third thing was for wisdom and discernment. That was, I thought was something was really, if they had all those three things, life would go probably a little bit smoother for them as they manage the storms of life. And as they were trying to get to my son, one of my sons. So I was like, come on down, girl.
Well, tell me a little bit more. I love that you gave us three things. That's something we can easily digest. But tell me a little bit more about what it looks like to pray for their spouse's salvation, the first one.
Yeah. You know, everybody we meet is on the journey. Either they're running away from God, they're running to God, or they're somewhere in the middle. So when I prayed for my children's spouse's salvation, like I said, I have all boys, so I was praying. I knew I was praying for girls. So I would pray that they would, wherever they were on their journey, that they would seek him, that would be something that they would totally seek him and just whatever it took to get to Jesus, that they would get to him. So that's where I was praying when I prayed for their salvation. I prayed that they would seek him like I did. I just wouldn't let God go. I was like that widow that wouldn't stop asking. They finally gave me a husband.
Persistent. You were persistent, like the widow.
I was persistent. And so God finally gave me a husband just to say, just stop.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, it reminds me of Jeremiah 29:13, which is actually one of my life verses, which says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And your prayers help bring that to fruition. That's beautiful.
Absolutely.
Do you have any other scriptures that you could encourage our listeners to maybe use as a prayer on top of that?
Yes. Well, the one Romans 10:9 is just beautiful. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And what a relief that is. And I mean, obviously, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. Can't miss that one's a big one. And then, you know, the last one I would say is, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you're seeking, you want life and you want truth. And so I would definitely pray those over your children's spouses, whoever they are, wherever they are. I always said they're not quite big. I have one still on the middle son is not married yet. So I'm still praying. I'm still doing it. And I always say they're not baked yet. They're not cooked yet. They're still on the journey. So that's what you pray over them.
Let's pause right now and take a question from one of our Bible to School kids.
What should I do if someone in my family doesn't believe in God?
It can be hard to see someone we know and love not believe in God like we do. First, make sure they have heard the good news of forgiveness of sins. You can tell them yourself or invite someone else to have a conversation with them. Second, continue to live a life that is pleasing to God so they can see the transformation in your own life. Hearing the gospel and seeing good works are not enough to make someone believe in God. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Third, and most importantly, pray for them, that the Holy Spirit will change their hearts. In taking these steps, you will be obedient to God in what he has asked, and we can rest knowing God will do everything according to his will and timing. He loves our family even more than we do, so we can trust him with them, hands down.
All right, so we've got the first prayer we're praying, which is for their salvation. What's the second prayer we should pray, Corey?
That protection. That they would stay close to Christ, even when the world tries to pull them away from him with the enemy's lies. There's so much distraction out there, you know, with drinking and sex and just, you know, living together and all that stuff, or even just that love from a man is the only thing. I mean, when we come whole to our marriages where we're depending on God, each of us are depending on God. It's beautiful. I know one thing with my husband, he looked at me at one point. He said, you know what? I am not your salvation. You have to rely on him. You're going to stand before God one day. I won't be there. And you have to have a relationship with him. So he really, that protection around them to say, you know, you want a spouse that will say that to you. You want to be close to God and stay protected on the journey so that you meet your spouse that way.
That's really good. Wow. So, you know, the enemy is super sly. So we know it can be a lot easier said than done to pray for protection on their journey. I feel like we need to get a little bit more specific on this one. It's a great prayer. But what are some, maybe the first way to go about here is, what are some common ways the enemy might try to deceive them?
I would say that it's a battle for their mind, Meredith. I mean, it usually starts there. Just look at the very first sin in Genesis. I mean, the serpent twisted God's words and tricked Eve. Unfortunately, it was us, Meredith. He took Eve, the woman, into eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so he made it sound so close to the truth. And I guess that's what we're asking, that protection for our child's future spouse, to be protected, because there is traps. The enemy will always minimize sin while making everything else look enticing. Well, there's no consequences to this, you know, but it's a lie. And you know, a good way to remember this is that our enemy or sin always overpromises and underdelivers, always, always. And God, on the other hand, makes a promise and far exceeds anything we can think or even imagine. On Sunday was my husband and my 34th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we kind of sat back. It was actually on Easter. And we just kind of sat back and thought, wow, he really did something far that exceeded anything we could ever think or imagine. He will do that for us.
That's beautiful. And it's in our remembering that we bring praise and glory to God and we stay close to him. So really neat that you reflected over that. That's good advice for our listeners too, to remember the good the Lord has done. So give me some more scripture for this specific one, praying over their journey, protection to combat the enemy and those lies that tend to seep in with culture and just the world around us.
Well, I mean, you need to declare Psalm 139:5 over them. I mean, you hem me in behind and before me and lay your hand upon me. So the other thing is pray Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This is how they're going to be protected from the lies of the enemy. Another one is, I saw that you have Psalm 91. If you like actually just read all the way through that, you will notice it covers an entire 24-hour day for protection in the physical and spiritual realm. I did not know that. And I thought that was really, really cool. So you actually can, you can pray, you know, say for the your kid, your child, spouse, husband or future wife. You can pray for them in general, but you also can pray for them in a 24-hour period and say, you know, today I'm praying for them. If you want to do it that way as well.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, we could go on a whole nother rabbit trail, which we don't have time for, on the miracles God has worked through praying Psalm 91, specifically over military families, just by praying his word back to him. My personal favorite in Psalm 91 is verse 11. Probably a lot of people have heard this before. Corey, I know you know it, but it says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And that, I mean, that's powerful to pray over anybody and any child. So super cool.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So we've got prayer for salvation, for protection on their journey. And now I'll go ahead and tell us about that third prayer.
So that's the prayer for wisdom and discernment as they grow. I mean, we want them to grow into godly men or godly women. These make the best spouses. I mean, I looked up discernment in the internet and I was like, it actually is called the ability to perceive, understand, and judge things clearly, especially those that are not obvious and straightforward. So that discernment is huge for and wisdom in living their lives, because they want to be a man after God's own heart. I mean, that's what we want these spouses to be. They don't know that yet. I'm sure they're out there and they're not really sure yet. But I can tell you on the other side of it, with my daughter-in-laws that I have now, I can embarrass them and talk about them. I asked them and they said yes. They seek God and they look for God. And I'm sure they're not perfect spouses, just like I'm not a perfect spouse. But man, you can't go wrong when you are seeking wisdom from him and you're going to find it, you know?
Amen. And praise God, we have the counselor, the Holy Spirit, to help us walk in his ways. Because you know what? I can't, on my own power, get wisdom and discernment. I don't know about you, Corey.
No, not at all. I'm not that good.
So here we are
praying that our children's future spouse will tap into the Holy Spirit for that same type of help. So,
right. In Proverbs 9, I'm sure this is familiar with you, Meredith, as well, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I like to pray that they would have a healthy fear of the Lord, which comes through a relationship with him. And like, I also ask that they would experience the Lord in tangible ways. That always builds things up. I do have this one thing that one of my nieces, she had asked, you know, how do you know you're in love? You know, all those teenage things. And my daughter-in-law said, well, did you do the Corinthians 1 challenge?
Oh.
You know? Yeah. And I said, what do you mean the Corinthians? She goes, this is how I figured out I was in love with your son, and the right kind of love. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, love is patient. Love is kind. Love, you know, it does not envy. I said, yeah, I know all that. And she said, well, I would put his name in there. I would put Ben is patient. Ben is kind. Ben does not envy. And if you go all the way through that and you put the person's name in, now they're not perfect either. I can tell you my son's not perfect. But if she sees that and calls that out in him and she appreciates that, he's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He doesn't keep records of wrongs. He doesn't delight in evil, but he rejoices with the truth. then that is kind of this little measuring. This is a definition of love of what God says love is, right? So that's why. I think that's pretty wild. She impressed me. I mean, she's only in her early 20s, and I'm like, wow, can I use that for the podcast?
That's amazing. I mean, and that's a tool. There's a free resource. Yeah. Thank you. That's amazing. And I think that also, I don't know who gets the credit. God does. But like, I think it's neat to say and fair to say that your prayers really did make an impact. And here you are watching it unfold before you, this beautiful daughter of God and your son of God coming together in a beautiful marriage. What an awesome way to start.
Yeah. And the other thing too, I can't do this without talking about Proverbs 31. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So, and that same way with like David was a man after God's own heart. I prayed those things for my son and my daughter-in-laws, but anybody out there who has daughters and is looking, I mean, pray that their future spouse will be a man after God's own heart. If they're seekers, God will show himself to them.
And that's where wisdom is. That's where wisdom is found. So great advice, Corey. I love these three prayers to focus on for our children's future spouses. So thank you for walking us through these. I would just love to know, is there any other wisdom you can share relating to prayer?
Well, at Bible School, we have a partner in Moms in Prayer, and Sally Burke is the president there. And I love what she says about prayer. Moms in Prayer, they actually are international, and they have moms across the world who gather to pray for children in their local public schools. But she says that God is working miracles in our kids' lives, and his power is unleashed through our prayers. Mm. And that, doesn't that make you feel good? Like, you don't know your child's future spouse, Meredith, or anybody out there. You don't know who they are, but you know that your prayers unleash his power on them so that they can be empowered to be that good, to get closer to him. And I wanted those girls to be close to God. My boys needed women who did that, who were close to God and pointed him in the right direction.
Well, and we know that he hears the petitions we ask of him because scripture tells us that. And we know that prayer changes things because literally the whole Bible shows us how prayer has changed things in each individual story. So that's what we're doing as we pray for our children's spouses. I love that. Do you have anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I do have a prayer book here, Meredith. I brought it with me, and I use it for my kids. And there was one in here that I'd love to share with you. That was my favorite. I dog-eared it, you know, so that I could open it up to it. It's an adaptation from Proverbs 12, 13, 14. But here it is. And I just thought we could savor this together. And I'm going to use my son Matthew's name in here because he's the one that's not married yet. So you can put your child's name in here. But Lord, please grant Matthew the good sense to choose friends carefully, the wisdom to act prudently, godly fear, a wholesome tongue, slowness to anger, diligence and industriousness, honesty, direction in a step, wariness of alcohol, purity of heart, a tender conscience, wise counsel from others, and an excellent life partner.
Amen. I'll stand in agreement with that prayer. I happen to know also, Corey, that you and your hubby, Blaine, don't just pray for and minister to your own sons and their wives. You minister to many other couples. Would you tell me how you currently speak into the lives of the people in your life that are married?
Sure. We have been premarital mentors in our church for brides and grooms for about 11 years now. And we actually have a curriculum that our church provides that helps them focus on, you know, what to expect from marriage and put like the wedding day perspective. I mean, as soon as you get that ring, man, you know, it's on Instagram. It's, you know, everything is all. And then it's the wedding day. But we applaud our couples who come to the premarital counseling because they're actually working on the actual marriage, which wedding is just one day. The wedding day is one day and the marriage is the rest of your life. So they work on the pitfalls, like the conflict, the communication. I love it when the couple said, we don't argue. And they're like, well, you will, you better get good at it. You know, money, in-laws, sex, whatever it is. We just know that God's word has something to say about all those things to married couples. And it's an important thing to do. So we really enjoy doing that. And the marriage relationship mirrors our relationship with him. I mean, God calls the church his bride. So that's why my husband and I put so much prayer behind marriage our own marriage and the marriages of our kids because God values it so much.
He sure does. And Corey, you've shared helpful tips and wisdom with me many times relating to my marriage over the years as well. And I've reaped the benefits more than once. So thank you for using your gifts for God's glory. It's impacted me.
You're welcome. I love doing it.
So to wrap up our time today, do you have any last final words of encouragement you would like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I would say there's a hidden blessing involved in praying over your children's future spouses. And that is, you're also praying over and investing in your future grandchildren or your future great-grandchildren. You're actually investing in another generation where God would be the center of the home they grow up in. And we all know that is huge. So if you have a godly father and a godly mother, that's not a small thing. And I found out recently, Meredith, that my mother-in-law, I knew she prayed for me, but I didn't know that she, you know, when she met me, she had told me, I've been praying for you. But I didn't know that she had been praying for my husband's future spouse since his early teens when he started dating.
Aww.
And I didn't meet him till later. No matter what, it's never too late to start praying for that. Wherever you are, if you have little ones, go ahead and start. If you have teenagers, start today, because it's the there's two most important, like I said, most important choices they have, that to follow Jesus and who they're gonna marry.
Praise God. What a gift. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Jesus, that we all have the ability to make a kingdom impact on our patch of ground, even the ground of our future son and daughter-in-laws. Corey, would you just bless us by closing this time together in prayer?
I would love to. I do have one thing that I have to tell you is that I also get really good presents now that they're married. So that's another, the totally unspiritual thing. But I'm like, oh, my daughter-in-laws get really great presents. So I love my sons.
Oh, no. God gives good gifts to his children. So that is not unspiritual. Love that.
Let me close this in prayer. Father, Lord, thank you so much for this conversation. And I just pray for all our listeners out there, whoever needs to hear this, if they're worried or anxious about who their child might date in the future or dating right now, or who their grandchildren are dating. Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage and just take one step and start praying for their future spouses. Father, these people who are going to come into their children or their grandchildren's lives are very, very important, and they're a part of the fabric of their family for the next generation. And so I lift up these prayers that are going to be prayed. I lift up the moms and dads and grandparents who are going to be praying these prayers, that they would earnestly pray for their salvation, for their protection, for their wisdom and discernment on their journey. Lord, getting to know our children and their spouses on a spiritual level is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful connection. And I pray that over our listeners, and so that we can have strong families and strong relationships with you, Lord, so that you would be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. What I love the most about this conversation is the intentionality behind the prayers and every bit of wisdom that Corey shares. And since you're listening, I know that intentionality matters to you too. In a world where divorce rates are high and the sanctity of marriage is challenged, we get to be the catalyst for change as we boldly approach God's throne of grace. Praise Him that we get to pray ahead of our children and bless their marriages, which can impact generations to come. Do you have the desire to make a kingdom impact on your patch of ground? There's no easier way to do this than by volunteering your time just once a week at a Bible to School program near you. All you need to do is show up and put your God-given talents to use. Reach out to us on BibleToSchool.com to find a great fit for you. Just click Contact Us on the top ribbon bar. Thanks for tuning in, and until next week, remember, you can pray for your child's future spouse and leave an impact that affects generations to come.